Let me first of all say, before we look into our passage this morning, that it is a privilege to be here, and thank you for the accommodations, the provisions. We got to the room last night, and my kids were ecstatic. I don't know who had a hand in the gifts for the kids and everything. I tried to calm them out of them, and they wouldn't let me. But I appreciate you going out of your way on behalf of the kids, just trying to make a special thought and gesture, and it's certainly greatly, greatly appreciated. We're looking forward to the week, looking forward to that which the Lord has for us and what he's got in store. I preached for a preacher one time, and I was just a younger man than what I am now, and I got done, went to the preacher. I said, "Preacher, I hope that was okay. I hope everything and message was what it was supposed to be." He said, "Well," he said, "Brother Taylor," he said, "your preaching kind of reminded me of the peace of God and the mercy of God." Man, I scratched my head. I had no idea. I said, "Brother, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, I didn't preach on either one of those subjects. I have no idea what you're talking about." He said, "Let me put it this way, Brother Taylor." He said, "The Bible says that the peace of God passeth all understanding, and I didn't understand a word you said. And the Bible says the mercy of God endureth forever, and I didn't think you were ever going to shut up. I'm going to do my best not to be that way for you this week." And so that being said, let's take our Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 18, we'll look in the first six verses for our text this morning, Jeremiah chapter number 18, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Let us pray. Our Father, this morning, God, what a privilege it is for us to be gathered in this place today. Dear Lord, I pray that that would not just be words that come out of our mouth, but that be the very cry of our heart. Dear Lord, there are people across this world today that don't have what we're allowed to participate in today with a church and the singing of hymns and the special music, and then, Father, the preaching of your word. God, we're so blessed today, and I pray that, Father, you'd help me. I pray at this very moment you'd clear my mind, guard my speech, and every word that crosses these lips today would be in accordance to your plan and purpose. God, I pray that the word of God might find that good soil of our heart today, that the seed would be planted and bring forth the fruit that would most glorify and honor you. God, help us. We pray for church back home, dear Lord, you bless them and their services and those that are taking charge of the services there. God, I'm so glad that you're able to meet with them and meet with us at the same time. So, Father, may you do that. Help us in all that we do. And we'll be careful even now to thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you so very much. You may be seated. In verses 1 and 2 of our passage this morning, we find that the Lord tells Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, and there's something there at the potter's house that the Lord has. He wants to give Jeremiah, and he wants Jeremiah to receive it and understand it. And then after he's received it, he is to go before the nation and tell them exactly what God has shared with him. And may I tell you that the illustration that is giving is really often the way God works. God will often use physical illustrations to get across a spiritual application or a spiritual message. We find this is the case often in the book of Jeremiah alone. For instance, in Jeremiah chapter 13, there is that account of the linen girdle. God tells Jeremiah to take and go put on a little linen girdle, and that linen girdle was to be one that displayed royalty and beauty. And yet then he was told to go and bury it. And after it had been buried for some time, he was to put it back on, and it really displayed after it had been rotten and ruined and in decay. And it showed the fact that God meant for Judah as a nation and a people to be one thing. He wanted to display them. He wanted them to be beautiful, something he could be proud of. And yet what they ended up being was rotten, decayed, and did not meet the expectations or the purpose that God had for them. I'm just telling you, there's tons of illustrations there in Jeremiah 13 again. He was told to go fill bottles with wine and then take those bottles and destroy them. And it really signified the joy that they were supposed to have being faithful to God. And yet because of the choices they had made to rebel, we find that that joy was taken away and was the opportunity was passed. Jeremiah 28, again, there's the time in which God told Jeremiah to put on an oxen yoke and go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. And that was to signify what God was going to end up doing, and the fact that Judah as a nation would become slaves and in bondage to the nation of Babylon. I'm just telling you and getting our mind in gear that in the book of Jeremiah, there are tons of illustrations that God uses of a physical nature to get across a spiritual application. We find, though, in verse number 6 of our passage that God has a specific purpose. This illustration is very specific to this nation and the people of God. Verse 6 says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Here's what he says. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. Listen, this illustration applies to how God wants to deal with them. But I want to suggest to you this morning that this illustration given in the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah today is not just applicable to the people of God in that day. I want to suggest to you this morning that it's just as relevant and applicable to us in this day in which we live. Can I read you a verse or two? Isaiah 64 and verse 8, the Bible says, But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Hey, it's just establishing the relationship. He's the potter, and we're the clay. In Romans chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says this, Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, in case there's any doubts today, you and I are meant to be clay in the potter's hand, and the master potter is to take and mold us and make us and shape us into exactly the kind of vessel that he wants us to be for his glory and his honor and his use in his service. I want to preach to you for a few moments this morning on that thought, clay in the potter's hand. The first thing I want to bring your attention to is this. I want you to notice with me this morning the advanced activity. Say, what do you mean, preacher? Look in verse 3 with me, if you would, of our passage. The Bible says that I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. I want you to pay attention to exactly the way that this is stated. When Jeremiah was sent down to the potter's house, The idea here is that when he reached the potter's house, the potter was already at work upon that clay and doing something. It's not like Jeremiah arrived at the potter's house and now the potter said, okay, now that you're here, I can actually begin and start working and start doing something. In fact, the potter had been active and doing things before Jeremiah ever arrived on the scene. Can I tell you and I this morning today that, ladies and gentlemen, before the clay is ever put on the wheel, there's a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of energy that's already gone into that clay to get it to where it's supposed to be. It is the potter that has taken the shovel and gone out and harvested that clay. You see, in these days, there's not a store where they go buy pottery clay. He had to go get it. And to understand that often that's a big endeavorment. They would often have to go and dig in and remove the topsoil, and there'd be dirt with rocks and limestone and other elements of this area in which the Bible was written to. And ladies and gentlemen, when you'd have to go there, there's a lot of work and an effort to harvest that clay out of the ground. I'm glad today that before the Lord ever started shaping me and molding me, I'm glad that he came to where I was. I'm glad that he found me in my sin and my depravity and was working in my life and heart and was doing everything to get my attention and bring me unto himself. Now listen to me this morning. I'm not one of those that believes God saves some to heaven and some to hell. I don't believe that doctrine today. I believe that every man, woman, boy, or girl has a personal responsibility to repent of their sins and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm also aware today that before I ever come to him, he had came to where I was and sought me and got a hold of my attention and drew me unto himself. Hey, Romans 3 verse 11 is very clear. There's none that seeketh after God. I listen to people every once in a while and they'll give their salvation testimony or they'll make a statement along the lines and they'll say something, well, I remember when I found the Lord. And I'm not trying to be ugly this morning. I know some people just don't know how to express themselves. And I know sometimes that people in a good heart say things along that nature. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is, we didn't find the Lord. He wasn't lost. We were. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came. It started working in my heart and breaking up that fallow ground, and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, got my attention and drew me to him. Hey, before we ever get put on the wheel and before we're ever starting to be shaped and molded into that vessel that he wants us to be, there's a lot of activity that's taken place already. That activity is not just seen in the fact that the potter went and harvested that clay, but it's also seen in the truth and the fact that when you take that clay out of the ground, do you understand, and maybe you're aware, some of you might be today, that you don't go straight from the clay in the ground to clay on the wheel and start to be molded. Let me explain if I can. Do you realize that clay in its natural condition is worthless? It's not like silver or gold or oil. Those things, even in their natural, I know they have to be refined and things of that nature, but even in their natural condition, they're quite valuable. Clay has no value. It must be transformed into a material that they can then use to mold and make into a vessel. That process is called slip or slipping. They'll take that clay that they've gotten out of the ground and they'll put it out on their workbench, and often the potter would take his mallet and just begin to tenderize and begin to beat that stuff, and he's trying to break up the lumps and the air pockets and get all the impurities and infection and things that have infected it and things that are there. He's trying to get them out, and he'll then take that clay and he'll put it into either a cement or a wooden lined trough, and he'll add water. He'll come back and add some more water and stir it and get it to the point to where it then becomes moldable, pliable, usable as that material that can then be put on the potter's wheel and molded. Hey, listen, that's the way the Lord works. I'm afraid today, and again, I'm not trying to be judgmental or ugly or anywhere out of line, but I'm afraid too often sometimes in our Baptist churches, we got people that want to go straight to the potter's wheel that have never truly been transformed. You see, we're never going to be transformed and molded into that vessel that's usable and beautiful for the master until there has been a transformation that takes place in our heart. I'm telling you, my friend, we got to be born again before we can ever be a real servant for Jesus Christ. There has to be a transformation in order for us to be molded. In my natural condition before I got saved, I was worthless. Had no value. Now, I'm not much as it is, all right? Even now. But I'm glad that at 21 years old, God got a hold of my heart, drew me to himself, and transformed my life by his power. We see this morning the advanced activity. Let me also bring your attention, if we might, as clay in the potter's hand, that there is an appointed area. Say, what do you mean? Look in verse 2 and verse number 3 with me this morning. The Bible says, arise and go down to where? The potter's house. Verse number 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Hey, it was at the potter's house that the Lord began to sit down and take that transformed material and shape it and mold it and make it into what he wants it to be. Hey, the master potter still works in his house. And when I'm talking about his house, I'm talking about the local, visible, New Testament church. It is the place in which the Lord has chosen to showcase his ability in order to mold people and make them usable for his glory and his honor. Say, oh, preacher, but I understand, but, you know, the Lord can work anywhere. No, I got that. I understand that he's a work in our world. I understand that he has the hearts of kings in his hand and he moves them as rivers of water. I understand what Solomon said in 2 Chronicles chapter number 2. When he said, if you don't mind my paraphrase, how on earth is he going to build a house for whom the God of the heavens cannot contain? I understand that God works all around us. But when it comes to the issue of molding vessels, when it comes to the issue of shaping his people, God does that in his house. There's something special about the house of God, into which God brings up laborers and trains them for his service. It's in the potter's house. Hey, the clay needs the potter's house. I know we got a world today that says, oh, I don't need church. But I'm not interested in the world's philosophy or their opinions. Because God's still what God says, what he says. And my friend, the New Testament church is what God has ordained to train and teach and disciple people for the cause of Christ. I'll just tell you this morning, we will not come to what we ought to be without the church. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 is very clear that God has given gifts to the body. And ladies and gentlemen, it's thereby those gifts are given. What? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Right. You'll not come to spiritual maturity without God's house. Thereby, we need to make sure that we're connected. We need to understand that as God has given us the privilege and set us as members in his house, we cannot afford to forsake the assembling of this place. Now, I know most of us, if not all of us today, are probably familiar with Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, where the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But you know what happens often if we're not careful? We regulate Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 to attendance. But that's not what that word just means. It's more than that. You ever went to Walmart and bought something that said assembly required? Brother Merrick, I hate those things. They never turn out right. You can't read the instructions. It doesn't look as good when I'm done with it as what it does on the box. But you know what happens? You go and you buy it and you lay it out on the living room floor getting ready to construct it. You have all the parts in attendance. And in my case, you have extra. But all the parts are there. But they're not all assembled. The Bible likens the New Testament church to a body for a reason. We're to be connected. We're to be assembled. And every member of God's house is vitally important and needed for the function that God has for this place. Hey, Jeremiah was told to go down to the potter's house because it's there that the potter's going to do something magnificent. It's there that the potter is going to form a vessel and make something of great beauty and usability. We see this morning the advanced activity. We see the appointed area. But look in verse 3 with me, would you please? Notice something else. Notice the amazing ability. So what are you talking about, preacher? Verse number 3. Then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, that word behold is to gaze upon. I mean, to look intently, to be amazed by. Behold. Notice this. The emphasis here is subtle, but it's emphasized nonetheless. Here's what he says. He wrought a work on the wheels. The emphasis is not on a vessel. The emphasis is not on how beautiful and magnificent and glorious this vessel is. What amazed Jeremiah and caught his attention was the work. The word work there is the word which means occupation, employment, endeavorment. You know what got his attention? Was the ability of the potter. Not the beauty of the vessel, but the ability of the potter. Look what the potter can do with some old dirt. Look what he can do with something of no value that the world would have cast to the side in a heartbeat. Look, it's not how glorious and grand the vessel is at all. The amazement that comes from Jeremiah is, look what my master potter can create out of nothing. Look at his ability to do this. And the emphasis is on what the potter is doing and creating and molding. Hey, too often we get enamored with the vessel. Too often we're taken back and we get thinking somehow our talents and our personalities and all the things we can do. Ladies and gentlemen, if we ever accomplish anything in the work of God, it's because of the ability of our potter, and it's in spite of who we are. It's not because you and I are something. It's because of what he can do. And that which he has the ability to take. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Whatever we become, it's because of the potter. It's certainly not because of the clay. You and I, when God uses us to reach a lost soul, when God uses us to reach out and minister to somebody in need, or to teach a lesson, or to sing a song, or to preach a message, or whatever it might be, when God uses us, you and I have not the right today to take credit for it any more than that clay had the right to take credit for what it became. It's about the potter. And it's about what he has accomplished within. Now, there's several things about this ability. One of them is the perception. Do you realize when the master potter sits down at a potter's wheel? Maybe I won't sit down. But when he sits down and he puts that clay upon the wheel, he has a vision and a perception in what he wants that clay to be. The clay doesn't get a say-so. The clay doesn't get a vote and say, well, I want to be this. It's the potter's determination. And what he puts on that wheel doesn't look like much. And I'm glad this morning that when God looked at me and came to me and worked in my life and saved my soul, and as a young man in his 20s who surrendered to preach and do whatever God wanted him to do, I'm glad this morning that God didn't just see what I was. I'm glad that he saw beyond that and saw what he could make me and how he could use me. I'm telling you this morning, I'd have never thought that God would allow me. I mean, I'm an introvert of all introverts, all right? Sometimes I preach fast and loud, and those things get red in the face just to trying to cover up my nerves, okay? I'd have never thought that God would allow somebody like me to pastor one of his churches, to preach, and to do the things that God... But I'm glad that he didn't see just what I was. He saw what I could become. And what he could do with my life and use me because of his ability. It's about his perception, what he sees, what he determines. Too often we talk about this issue of surrender. And I personally believe, if we're not careful, that we've got this a little jaded. So what do you mean? Let me clarify this. I believe that God calls men to positions, and I believe that God calls them to places. But I don't think the emphasis ought to be on the position or the place. I think the emphasis of surrender ought to be the person. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I think every child of God ought to surrender their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and then let him determine whatever position that might or might not be and whatever place that may or may not be. You say, well, God has never called me to preach. Well, God doesn't call everybody to preach. But I'm telling you, every man ought to be willing. I said that right, every man. Nothing makes me more embarrassed when I'm talking to somebody, you know, out in the thing and say, well, you know, and they say, yeah, my preacher, she says this. What? But we ought to surrender. We ought to be yielded. Every single child of God ought to be willing to do what God wants them to do. But he's the one that determines it. It's his perception. Let me also tell you, in this ability, it's not just about the perception, but there's also the pressure that comes. Do you know when the master potter sits down and he begins to shape and mold, from the time he starts spinning the potter's wheel, his hands are always on that vessel. That's how he guides it. That's how he shapes it and forms it and makes it. If he were to take his hands off of it, even for a little bit, I don't know if you use this term up here, but in Oklahoma, here's what happens, and we use the term, it goes cattywampus. I mean, that thing just kind of loses its balance, and before you know it, it collapses and caves in on itself, and it's not usable. He keeps his hands on it. Here's what I appreciate, though. He's not just busy forming the outside. He's willing to take his hand and put some pressure on the inside. And form that thing out on the inside. Because if you have a vase that's never been formed on the inside, all you've got is some decorative piece that sits there and has got no use to it. I'm looking forward to the Lord this week putting some pressure on me on the inside, getting a hold of my heart, giving me direction, giving me help. And I hope he'll do that for all of us this week. He wants to. If you and I are going to be that vessel that we need to be, molded and structured, we're going to have to let him. Hey, he puts that pressure upon us, not to hurt us, but to help us. To form us and make us what he wants. There's the perception of his ability. There's the pressure from his ability. There's also the passion with his ability. Do you know sometimes, I'm talking about the most skilled potter, sometimes a potter will put clay upon the wheel, and to no fault of his own, no faults of the potter, just sometimes maybe there's a hidden imperfection. Maybe that clay wasn't pliable and yielding as it should be. But there are times in which that potter will begin to mold it and shape it and make it. And the vessel gets marred. In fact, look at our passage in verse number 4, would you? Look with me this morning. In verse number 4, here's what the Bible says. And the vessel that he made of clay. Now stop right there. The vessel. You remember verse 3, what we said? The emphasis was what? On the work. When things are amazing and good, the emphasis and the credit goes to the potter. When there's a problem, it's not with our potter.
Right.
It's with the vessel.
Right.
And now the emphasis changes. And it says, the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. When it becomes marred, there's a problem. And you see, there are times in which that clay gets marred, and again, for whatever reason, it won't be molded like it should. But here's the great thing. I'm glad today that my potter doesn't throw me away. I'm glad that there have been times in my Christian life. I'm not talking about before I got saved. I'm not since I've been a Christian. There have been times in which, you may not believe this, but I'll just go ahead and confess to you. There have been times in which I can get stubborn. I know us guys never deal with any of that. We get stubborn. Maybe even what we call a little rebellious. A little set in our ways. Come on, as God's people, we can all get a little complacent, a little indifferent to the working of the Spirit of God in our heart and our life. I'm glad God doesn't do what I would do. I am not a man of great patience, I'll just be honest. I do a little bit of woodworking here and there. I didn't say I was any good at it, I just do it. And I like to woodwork as long as everything is going the way it's supposed to. But there are times in which I'll be constructing a project and putting it together and something doesn't line up. You know what I want to do? I want to take a sledgehammer to that project, beat it to a pulp, pile it up in my driveway, pour gasoline on it, and watch it burn. That's how I cope with things. That's my personality. That's the way I want to handle things when they don't go like I should, think they should. My potter doesn't do that to me. He doesn't cast me out. He doesn't say, well, that's how you're going to be. Now, there are times, listen to me. Did you see what it said? It says that part that vessel was marred, and so he puts it back on the wheel and makes it another vessel. Can I tell you, there are things we can do in our life that will disqualify from certain level. Young people, listen to me. The greatest testimony that a person can ever have is not to get saved out of sin and the muck and the mire. The greatest testimony is you to get saved at a young age and God be all that you ever need.
Amen.
That's a tremendous testimony. There are times in which we can do things that may, hey, they may disqualify us from certain areas of service. But it doesn't disqualify us from being used. He can put us back on that wheel. And he can shape us and mold us and make us. Hey, if you're here and you're saved by the grace of God, say, preacher, you have no idea what my past is. I don't know your past any more than you know mine. But I'm going to tell you this. We've got a gracious Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And we've got a master potter.
Amen.
Who's able to take things that have been marred, scarred, and ruined by the world and the things of sin, and make them into vessels that he still wants to use. And I'd be the first one to publicly testify and thank God that he is a God of second chances. and the graciousness that he's willing to display in our lives and help us to be used. We see this morning the advanced activity. Before that thing is ever put on the wheels, a potter's working. We see the appointed area God molds and makes in his house. And we see the ability, the amazing ability of our potter. I'll give you the last thing this morning. And that's the affirmed accomplishment. Every vessel is handmade. There's no assembly lines. No mass production. Every vessel. So, preacher, I'm nothing but a bowl. If that's what God wants you to be, then you be the very best bowl that God wants. Well, I want to be a vase. It's not really about your choice.
Right.
What does he want for you? And you be the very best. But do you know, in order to accomplish that which God has, sometimes the purposes that God has for us as vessels are not always easy. Will you take your Bible with me this morning and go over to another chapter and look in Jeremiah 19? Look with me this morning, Jeremiah 19. In verse number 1, the Bible says this. Thus saith the Lord God, and thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle. Now look up here. That simply means that an earthen bottle is one that has been through the kiln, one that has already been tempered, one that's been through the fire. It's been put together, it's been molded, shaped. It's been baked and it's ready to be used. It's hardened and now it's ready to be put into action. So he tells him, go get an earthen bottle. All right? Look down in verse number 10 of the same chapter. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. For a purpose to the people of God. Verse number 10. Then thou shalt break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. Did you hear what he said? Jeremiah, I want you to take that earthen bottle. I want you to grab the ancients and the priests and the elders of the people, and I want you to gather them together in the Valley of Tophet. And there I want you to break that bottle before their eyes to the point that it'll never be the same. This isn't an accidental slip. This is the purpose that God has for this single vessel. I'd like to tell you this morning that every purpose that God has for every vessel is wonderful, fun, easy, and delightful. But it's not. There are times that God's plan and purpose for you as a vessel is to be broken. And there are things that you will go through in this life that when you deal with them will change you to the point that you will never be the same. Combat soldiers go to combat. When they come back, what they've experienced and what they've gone through, they'll never be the same. law enforcement for several years and tell you about people that I've experienced, know that have gone through things and dealt with issues. I pastor people that have had tragedies, lost children, lost a spouse through some of the most, what we would think of, horrific events. And what they have gone through has broken them and changed them, that they're never going to be what they once were. But here's what we sometimes don't understand. We start thinking, well, if I'm broken and I've gone through some traumatic event, or I've gone through some event of some magnitude, and now it's changed me, then preacher, I'll never be able to be used of God. I'll never be able to be used of the Lord. Can I tell you, that's not true. You may very well be broken, but it doesn't mean you're not usable. May I remind you of an account in the Bible about a man by the name of Job? Job lost his health, his children, his finances, everything that you and I would think of substance, Job had taken away from him. To the point that his friends came. They tried to help him, tried to comfort him. What did Job say about the miserable comforters are ye? You're not helping. Do you know the only thing that brought him any comfort was a broken piece of pottery that he sat down and scraped those boils? The only thing to bring him just a little bit of relief, a little bit of help, was a broken piece of pottery. Let's not underestimate a broken piece of pottery in the hands of a master potter. Because God may very well put you through something that's not just about you, but it may be to be used to help somebody else down the road. Does not Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 4, did Paul not say, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God? God might put you through something. God might allow you an experience, an event that no matter how painful and hurtful, no matter what it does to even break you, just because you're broken doesn't mean you can't be used of God. It's all about the potter and what he can do with clay. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed this morning.